Amen. Come on, while you already stand, why don't you give God hand? That's really why we're here. Come on, we're here. We're here because God is consistently good. He's consistently faithful. And we celebrate that. You may be seated for just a moment. I want to jump right into our word, but I don't. I want to skip this moment to at least celebrate what God is doing here at the Bridge Church. I applaud what you are doing to an entire leadership team, to your pastor and to Ariel. Can you help me just celebrate good leadership? Come on, we celebrate good leadership. We thank God. It takes people praying, and one of the things that He keeps talking about is how long we've been connected. And I can say publicly, both on site and for those who are online, that He is a man full of integrity and has been such ever since I have known him. And I want to celebrate him along with Ariel, who I had the chance to kind of share with in youth ministry. So it's exciting to be here, exciting to see all that God is doing with the entire Bridge Church. There's so many others, Stacy and a few who we kind of had a chance to watch kind of grow, not just in age, but in God. And I champion anyone who can be honest about where they were in God and where you are now and realize that God is growing you. Can anybody testify to that? God is growing you. God is growing you. And to see the growth and to see the what that growth has produced is always awesome. To Mama Jones, we always celebrate you. We thank God. Thank God so much for you. Always. My son is here. Ryan with me. Just throw your hand up real quick, D. He's Dwight III. Throw it up real high. That's my man. So, man, Road Dog Day. He rides with me at Minister Baseball. Always good to have you. Come on, let's look at 1 Kings chapter 19. I know you all are coming off of or going into the 21-day fast. And really just kind of looking at what it means to reset. And so for time purposes, I want to jump right into that, soliciting your prayers and believing that God has something for all of us. 1 Kings 19, and there are a number of verses there. Verses 3 through 8 are what we're going to read. I want to encourage you to go back and read some more for yourself later. Don't just let Sunday or live stream be your only word. Don't let anybody speaking it be the only time you hear it. Go check it out for yourself. Read some for yourself. You don't have to read the whole book or a whole chapter, but just get a little bit every day. And I don't know how he does it, but it is a game changer. It will literally change your life. Change your life for that. 1 Kings 19, 3 through 8. I know you're going to have a lot of conversations between now and next Sunday, so I want to make sure this one sticks. And so if you're online, why don't you type that? Go ahead for your muscle memory. Just go ahead and type 1 Kings 19, 3 through 8. If you're on site, I want you to make your mask vibrate by shouting this out real loud. What book are we in? 1 Kings. All right, what chapter? 19. We'll start reading at verse 3, and we'll stop at verse 8. You got it. I'm going to read it from the New International Translation. It says this. It says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him, said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. You all may be seated, and if you're online, just sit up a little bit. Don't fall all the way to sleep. Sit up a little bit, as I believe God has prepared all of us for this moment, and more so, he's prepared this moment. I really believe he's prepared it for us. There's a part of scripture where verse 4 says, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, he sat down under it and prayed that he may die. I want to just kind of take our time together. I want to talk about finding success in the shade. That's it. I want to talk about finding success in the shade. Now, if you say something, you know you had that mask on, so you're going to have to say it extra loud, like amen. There we go. Try that again, like amen. There you go. So, success in the shade. Pray with me. Just pray with me for a moment. Father, I thank you for this time that we have gathered. We showed up, but people have no idea what it took for us to get here. This morning, just kind of breaking through some challenges, but then also this week, so much could have prevented this, but we believe that you have ordained it. We believe that despite conversations we have had or haven't had with others, you know exactly what we need. And so I pray in Jesus' name that you release your spirit that speaks to our hearts, speaks to our situations, speaks to our challenges, speaks to our questions, speaks to even our celebrations, reminding us that if it was good, it was because of you. If it was difficult, God, you're somehow able to help us work through it. God, I pray now for fresh anointing to fall. I pray for your spirit, God, to move really from every chair into every heart, through every screen, so that our time here is not in vain. Speak now to your children. We pray and believe you're going to do it. So it is in Jesus' name that we surrender now this time to you. And if you really think God has a word for you, everybody just shout real loud, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Success in the shade. I haven't had an opportunity to travel as much as I like to or used to. I'm sure many of you have kind of been in that same boat, particularly with all that's happened the last 18 months, a couple of years. But we did get a chance to slide away, and one of the things I love is kind of entertainment, dinner and a show, movie and a show, something where I can eat and watch at the same time. There was an event that was scheduled where an illusionist was going to be performing over some pizza, fries, and Pepsi. It's all good for me. So we signed up to go watch the illusionist. I had a couple of friends with us who were already haters. They just kind of doubted this whole idea of an illusionist giving tricks. And we watched, and the entire time that the illusionist was performing, they were trying to figure out how it happened, questioning if it was real, trying to explain to me how the trick actually worked, literally just throwing shade at this illusionist for everything that had happened. And then, of course, the finale was that he was going to cut somebody in half. And my friend is trying to explain to me that that's all literally smoke and mirrors. After he kind of put the saw through the box and opened up the box, and her bottom went this way, her head and torso went the other way, he actually said outside, "Man, that's shady." He shouted that out loud in the middle of the performance. I know some of you believers, men and women of faith, don't deal with magicians or illusionists, but I thought it was interesting that in that moment, the person who was leading, the person who was on the stage, the person who had the mic, was able to do things in front of us that were amazing that we could not understand. I mean, the things he was doing literally did not make sense. Sawing people in half. He pulled a rose out of his sleeve after showing us that there were no roses in the sleeve. He pulled a coin from behind someone's ear. These are old school illusionist items, and we're watching it having no idea of how it was happening, but we saw it taking place. It was interesting. And my friend's conclusion was that it was shady. Now, shady, not necessarily in an evil way, being deceptive, but it was shady in that it was unexplainable. It was something that he objected to. It was something that although he saw it, he had a problem with it, and as a result, he cried out that it was shady. And I think today, while you guys didn't get to take that trip, maybe I'll call you for the next one, that if we were honest, there have been moments in all of our lives where we've had to deal with things, situations, scenarios, people, and maybe even God in shady ways. Now, I do realize I'm walking a real tight theological rope right there by suggesting that what God does around us is shady. But if you could for a moment, just take your halo off and be honest. Has God ever done something in your life that caused you to look at it and wonder why or how it took place? You're not going to say it. I'll say it for you. But sometimes the things God does cause us to look at him as if he's shady. He does some things, and after he does it, we're trying to figure out why would he allow that to happen. After working all those hours on that job or putting all of that time in on the degree, and then you still not having a job or not being able to acquire the money, it would almost appear that God was kind of shady. After hearing that God is a healer, balm in Gilead, by his stripes we are healed, there's healing in his wings, and then COVID comes and takes loved ones or causes you to lose hours of sleep because you're sick or unable to breathe. Although we know what he's able to do in healing, the whole scenario of this sickness could appear a little shady. Okay, I figure it'd be a little tight right there, but let's just be honest. You've been working hard trying to keep your health right. You've been drinking all the water, cutting out all the carbs, decided not to eat any more bread, making sure you got your body, yaddy, yaddy, right, only to discover that boo still don't call you. Meanwhile, people who don't care anything about their health or their mind or their mouth are getting dates every day, every night, and you're trying to figure out how is it that you have been wholesome, keeping cooking is in the jar, not trying to be all out there in the street, single, solo, alone, while people doing everything wrong, got everybody calling them when God's supposed to be loving you. Sometimes it could look a little shady. Can I get a few people that can just raise their hand and say, I see what you mean. I see it. Because sometimes trying to figure God out doesn't always work for us. And like an illusionist, what we see, we don't always understand. Going to job, making all the money, and then God has the audacity to ask you for 10% of all you just earned. He knew the finances were slim when he acted shady. You get it when you get home. But what I'm saying is God can often do some things that causes us to object. He allows things to happen in our life that causes us to wonder. He literally puts us as if we are in the dark or in the shade and still ask us to trust him, walk by faith, not by sight. And some of you right now sitting there a little irritated because you've been saying, I do trust God. I do figure God out. I've got God under wraps. Everything he does makes sense. If that's true, then this message might not be for you. Today's message is for people who have an honest moment where you can say, what God did, I love him, but I don't know what he's doing. What God allowed, I would trust him through it, but I wish he had chosen another way. Who God brought, I'll deal with, but there could have been somebody better that he would have put in my cubicle or brought in my family or put on the job. And the good news for everyone today is that if you've ever had a moment where you thought God was shady and you couldn't tell your preacher, you couldn't share it with a friend, you were afraid to be honest about how you felt about God, I've come today to tell you that even if God appears shady, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. A matter of fact, Isaiah says there's no searching to his understanding. That's all church talk for just because you're in the shade doesn't mean God can't bring you success. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean God can't work all things together for your good. Just because it doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean that God can bring you out as the head and not the tail, or lift you above so that you're not beneath. The God we serve can take what we call shady and turn it into success. Now, I thought about there. I have at least 10 people who can say, I know that's right, because there were some times God did some things in my life that I didn't like, I didn't agree with way back then. But when I look at where God has brought me from and where I am now, it makes sense. Come on, I need a few people who can be honest on the live stream and say, what I was dealing with, I never thought I'd ever get through it, but now that I'm on the other side of it, I realize God used that to make you stronger. God used that to make you wiser. It broke your heart, but if you look at him, her now, you praise God y'all not together, because what broke you then would have destroyed you now. So God gave you temporary pain so you could have some permanent smiles, joy, and laughter. It might not make sense when it looks shady, but God can bring success even when it looks shady. And just in case some of y'all are still out there on the live stream, you haven't typed yet, you sitting in here, you haven't clapped yet because you're saying you can't relate. Here's a guy who can. His name is Elijah. And the Bible says that he had this scenario where God appeared shady to him. We started reading in 1 Kings 19, verse 3, but please go back and check it out. This guy had just won a gold medal on Mount Carmel, kind of like Mount Olympia and USA going to Tokyo. He had traveled outside of his country to compete against all of these other prophets, about 850 prophets of Baal, a few more prophets for some Ashar, and here's the competition. Whoever can cause the altar to light up in a flame, like the eternal flame in the Olympics, that's who wins the competition. So the 850 of them, they ride around, they drive around, they circle this altar, singing their songs, doing their dance, trying to get the altar to get lit, but they just couldn't get it lit. They had no fire. Elijah antes up. He raised the bar. He steps in, pours water on top of the altar, calls out to his God. God gets lit, lights the altar, it goes into flames, and he wins the competition. After he wins the competition, God gives him one more command, go and destroy all of them. So he grabs his God-given Glock 19, runs down, kills all of the prophets. At this point, he is the winner. Elijah gets the gold medal. Elijah has the world record. Elijah has the reward. Quickly after having this award, they post pictures of him on Instagram. They have photos of him on Facebook. And some lady named Jezebel hears about it and says he's not going to take all of that glory. So she sends him a quick text message and says, because you won that, I'm going to take your life. And immediately Elijah is wrecked with fear. He's so afraid that he leaves the place he got the reward and he runs to a place where he literally becomes suicidal. At first, it was him and one of his boys, but he left him and said, you stay here. I'm going a little bit further. And as he's going into this next city, he starts contemplating suicide. He gets to a place where he wants to throw in the towel. I'm talking quick, but let me pause there and tell you that there will often be some moment after your greatest victory that tries to create in you an idea of victimization. In other words, right after you win, the enemy will try to belittle you. Right after you have a good day, he'll do something on your job to make you feel like you've got a bad day. Right after you get the healing report, then you'll have another pain that makes you question what you had. Right after you get the one boo that really loves you, you'll start questioning if it's real because of some past pain you have. Be careful about falling too far after God has lifted you high. Sometimes you just got to trust that what God is doing is real. Sometimes you got to believe that he who has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Sometimes you just have to understand that you did win. You are doing well. Everybody's not out to get you. God is going to supply your needs. Things will work for your good. And what Elijah failed to hold on to was the reward. So immediately after the reward, he goes to resign. He had just won, and now he's given it all up. And that's where we pick him up, because here he's running away. He's trying to resign. And when he tries to resign, God says, no, you can't give up. I'm going to reset you. There's too much in you. You've come too far. God has been investing too much. You cried too many tears to find joy in the morning for you to throw in the towel now. You can't throw the towel in. You can't count yourself out. You can't walk with your head down. You can't throw up your hands, because I know the thoughts I'm thinking towards you, says the Lord. And my thoughts are about hope and a future. He says, I can't let you quit here because your future is brighter than your past. He says, I won't even let them take away your joy. anything, because your latter days are going to be greater than your former days. And some of y'all still think I'm talking about Elijah, but about 5 minutes ago, I was talking about you. A matter of fact, just look at the person beside you and said, you're going to make it. Come on, type it on the screen. I'm going to be all right. And Elijah got to this place where after the reward, he tried to resign. So God hit the reset button for him. Now, these aren't the main points, but I thought it was interesting because the way God reset him was by reminding him that this was divine. Look at the text. The Bible says he tried to run away, but God sent an angel to put their hands on him. Because for many of us, the idea of quitting and letting go after this difficult pandemic, after going through the divorce, after losing the child, after watching other people get promoted on the job, after finishing the degree but not having the job, after giving God your all only to have to deal with church hurt, many of us will walk away. But God divinely will send somebody to touch you and remind you he's still with you. That's why you're here today. It's a reminder that although some may have walked away, God will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. This reset is divine. Not only is it divine, but it's also developing. He said to him, get up. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, but in order for you to get up, you had to be down. And can I tell you that there are moments God will cause a reset just so that he can put you back in the proper posture? You are not the victim. You are enough. You are not to be belittled. You have been blessed. You are not to stay low when God wants to lift you. And Elijah had decided to lay down, but God says the reset is causing you to get up. He got up because getting up is a posture of strength. Getting up is an inclination in you that says, I don't know what's going to happen, but if it's going to happen, I'm going to be ready for it. When God resets you, it's divine and it's developing, but it also changes your diet. It's not real deep, but he calls him to get up and said, eat something. In other words, monitor your intake. Do not reset and let things in from your past. I need you to let something in that shows you your future. Change your diet. Shift your music. Read another book. If you need to, add some friends. You don't have to get rid of the ones you have. Just add some new ones. And if the new ones coming in cause the old ones to go out, then you ought to just thank God, because he who has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And sometimes he does it by bringing the new thing. Come on. That scripture, doesn't the Bible say all things are passed away and behold, all things are made brand new? And what he does with Elijah is he alters his diet by creating a new intake. I can't deal with that. That's not the meat of the text. I just thought that for somebody who was wondering why you needed to reset, you wanted to hear that. You've got to reset because God is divine. You've got to reset because he's developing you. And you've got to reset because he's changing your diet. That's what Elijah heard while he was laying down under the broom tree. Now, that may have been a whole lot, but here's really the meat of the text. Because this man, after having a reward, trying to resign, now has to rest under the broom tree. He is literally in the shade. He's laying down, ready to quit, ready to give up, ready to walk out on the marriage, ready to leave the job, ready to denounce his anointing and calling in ministry, ready to walk away from his friends, ready to give it all away, and he does it in the shade. And I think somebody here, while you won't raise your hand or pull your mask down to scream, it's me, while you're not going to type it on the screen, there are a few people here who know what it's like to be in the dark place so much so that you just want to stay there and have nobody call and have no one deal with you, share nothing with anyone. And it is in that place that I'm telling you, God's getting ready to birth your success. You thought that you were in a dark place place and a bad place. You thought that how you felt was going to destroy you. But you must remember that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. In God will I trust. What I'm saying is, you thought the dark place was the place the devil put you in to destroy you. But I'm telling you, God, it sounds shady, will allow you to fall in the dark place so that he can build you and strengthen you and grow you and speak to you. Don't count yourself out because it feels like you're in the dark, because our God will cause the dark come into the dark, and then according to 1 Peter, call you out of the dark into his marvelous light. If you are in the shade, God can bring you success. Oh God, I need just a few people. Type it on the screen. Shout out the loud. I can find success in the shade. Come on, I can find success in the shade. And if you're wondering how, I promise it's real quick from here. The first reason I know that you can find success in the shade is because God planted the tree. That's it. God plants. God plants with providence. Real quick, I'm not a green thumb type of guy, but you do need to know this broom tree is important. The broom tree, it's a tree. It usually only grows about 6 to 8 feet, but it's really leafy and it causes shade. It often grows in the wilderness. It's known for causing shade. Because it grows in the wilderness, it's also used for fuel. Sometimes they will cut the roots of the broom tree, also known as the juniper tree, and they would use the roots for fuel to create fire that they could then use for heat. The broom tree was also something that could be eaten. Check it out, the book of Job, and Job says that I was so hungry that I had to use the roots so that I could have something to eat. So this broom tree is very resourceful. The key is Elijah was running from the mountain into the wilderness, and while he's in the desert, there is a broom tree that has already been planted. He did not have to plant the broom tree. God had already made sure the tree was planted before he arrived. Now, that's not going to make y'all smile, but I get excited about that, because I used to be under the impression that God answered prayers after I prayed them. I used to think that God would make a way after somebody closed the door. I used to believe that as soon as I got saved, then God would start working on my behalf. But what I've learned about God is that God does not wait until I'm in the trouble to figure out a solution to get me out. What I've discovered is that God does not get a scientist to create some medication when I get sick. No, God goes before us to make the crooked places straight. God goes before us and looks at the beginning while he's standing at the end. God is Alpha and Omega. And as the Omega, he's looking at you in your Alpha state. So while you might be a neophyte to what you're going through, God already knows how he's going to get you out. What I'm telling you is God has already planted your success. Elijah shows up in the wilderness, but he doesn't have to plant the tree. The tree is already there. One of our past presidents says that every person ought to plant a tree so that somebody else in another generation can sit in their shade. And can I tell you, it was not their idea, it was God's idea. And I've come to tell you, God has been planting some things for you that you had not seen. He planted it before you arrived. And can I tell you that if it is already planted, when you find yourself in a dark place, you must remember that he's already planted what you need so that he can help get you out. He's planted someone on the other side of the desk so that when you go in for the interview, you're hired. He's planted someone on the other side of the financial aid so that when you get ready to enter into school, scholarships are available. He has planted someone in med school now that's going to be the doctor or nurse that shows up to your room when you finally get sick. He has already planted your boo. They're in another sanctuary right now with their hands raised worshiping. And while you've been praying for them, God has got them praying for you. He has already planted the money in somebody else's bank because the wealth of the wicked has been stored up for the righteous. He has already planted the people who will follow you into ministry and support you when you launch out. God has already planted what you need. He does not wait until you get in it to figure it out. While you're trying to figure it out, God a long time ago had already worked it out because he plants with providence. Oh, come on. I need a few people that can just raise their hand and say, I'm so glad to know he's a planter. He is the same God who plants. And what I love is that by the time Elijah literally loses his mind and wants to quit, he walks through the wilderness, but God already had a solution for him before he got there. And for somebody out there that's wondering what's going to happen next week, who's still concerned, thinking that God has forgotten about you, who won't say it out loud, but you feel like God is blessing everyone around you, but he has not done it. He has not done it for you yet. He sent me here to tell you he has planted it already. And just because you can't see the seed that has been planted underneath the ground doesn't mean it's not going to grow. I got two more points, so I don't have time to explain to you how planting works. Planting is the process of burying something that cannot be seen, and then over time, with patience, something waters it. The sun shines on it. Things around it are pruned from it, and eventually it grows. Just because you can't see it yet doesn't mean it hasn't been planted. Just because it's still buried doesn't mean God cannot use it to bless you. Just because you can't control how fast it comes does not mean that God is not working it out for you. Back in my church, this is the place I would tell you that Jesus can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. You just have to trust him when you can't trace him. Come on, somebody shout, he's planting it for you. He's planting it for you. Not only is God planting it, that's how I know he can take all of your shade and turn it into success, but he plants it in the right position. It's the right position. Again, I'm not a rocket scientist. I would have never figured this out. But this broom tree is in the perfect place. It is literally positioned in the place that it needs to be. This broom tree does not grow in forests. No, it doesn't grow in the forest. The broom tree, it's not planted by the rivers of water. This is not a Psalms type of broom tree. This broom tree somehow blossoms in the desert where there's no water, nothing but heat. It looks as if everything dies where this broom tree is, but it's the perfect place for God to position it. Now, you might be smarter than me, but if I were planting a tree, I would plant it where I have seen other things grow. If you asked me to plant you a tree, I would plant that tree in a forest because a forest is an indication that other trees are able to survive. But God perfectly positioned this tree in the wilderness, in the desert, because God is able to make things happen in places where other people aren't able to make them happen. And if you think you're in the wrong place because you don't see anything growing, if you think you're in the wrong place because nobody else around you seems to be happy or have joy, if you think you're in the wrong place because everything around you seems to be opposite of what God said to you, what I'm telling you is the God that we serve, he's able to put you in a place that others will not go, and you will survive. Oh, man, I wish I could take you back to old school Sunday school VBS, because if I did, I would tell you God has a track record of positioning things and people in places that don't make sense. He'll take a bush, set it on fire, place it on the backside of a meridian desert, and let Moses find it where nobody else can see it, because God puts things in positions that don't make sense. He will take a man like Daniel, who is high in power, politics and toss him in a lion's den, because God puts people and things in positions that don't make sense. He'll take three Hebrew boys and toss them in a fire, which is ridiculous, and then take the heat out the flame just to prove to you that he will position you in places that do not make sense. He will send a big fish swimming at the same time Jonah's being tossed overboard, just to prove to you that he will position you in places that don't make sense. He will send ravens like wings on meals down into a valley where the brook is getting ready to run dry, to make sure that Elijah has a happy meal right on time, because God positions things and people in places that don't make sense. He'll send you out as sheep among wolves. That don't make sense. He'll put you, according to 1 Corinthians, in an arena as a spectacle to the world and let everybody look down on you while he's lifting you, because God positions you in places that don't make sense. And if you're sitting there listening, watching on your screen, saying, I'm ready to leave where I am, may I ask you for a moment, just be still. If you learn to be still, that's when you see the salvation of the Lord. Just stand a little bit longer. I'm not saying you have to stand forever, but just stand. Well, how long you want me to stand? Well, stand. And as long as you stand, then God will prove that he can supply your needs. For somebody who is ready to bail out, can I tell you, hang in there a little while longer. Yes, you're going to cry some tears, but have you read your Bible? Did you hear the worship leader? Weeping only endures for the night. Joy will come in the morning. Yes, it's going to look like everything around you is prospering and nothing with you is, but be not weary in well-doing, because if you can hold on, you will reap if you faint not. Sometimes the position you're in may look barren. It may look like a wilderness, but that's the very place God will bless you. Trees in the wilderness. Here, I'm done. Trees in the wilderness. And while the trees in the wilderness, it's exactly where God needs it. And it's sure enough exactly where Elijah wants it to be. Here's how it close, because this tree, it's planted by God, because God does not wait for you to get in trouble or have a hardship before he pulls you out, but he's already planned your way of escape. It's in the position that people would not choose, but it's exactly where God wants it to go. And then it produces peculiar people. Real quick. Elijah is laying under the broom tree. I'll be honest, I got to be true to the text, NIV, KJV, none of them say that the tree causes shade. We get that from Job, we get that from Psalms, and so what we know is that broom trees cause shade in the desert. It is why the psalm writer in Psalms, I believe it's Psalms 121, can declare that you've got to look to the hills from which cometh your help, knowing that all of your help comes from the Lord. Have you ever read that psalm before? It says, looked up your eyes unto the hills, because all of your help comes from the Lord. It goes on to say, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over Israel does not sleep. He does not slumber. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. That's all church talk, for sometimes God will let something shade you so that it can pull out of you something you didn't know was in you. What really tripped me out is that Elijah is under the tree. I would have thought that with what he was dealing with and how he felt, that God would have let him climb up in the tree. Don't think that that's unfamiliar. There are people who do that, Zacchaeus, that sometimes get to climb up in the tree. But God put him in a low place. He was under the tree. I thought that God would promote him. No, God put him under the tree. I thought that God may let him grab the tree so that they would be parallel or peers, but no, God put him under it. And sometimes in these moments where you want to give up, you feel low, but low does not equate to your value. Sometimes low is the place of humility where God is producing something in you he couldn't get when you were living high on the hog, when your money was on overflow, when every night you had a date, where you were preaching to the thousands, where every time you opened up your mouth, people followed you. Sometimes he puts you under something or someone so that he can press something out of you that was not already there. My brothers and sisters, I submit to somebody today that God is producing you as a peculiar person. That's why people can't quite figure you out. That's why others don't always understand. That's why people may look at you funny and act a little crazy. It's because you are peculiar. You are what I call a polka dot in a plaid world. And as I close, can I tell someone that sometimes you're going to feel the shade, sometimes you're going to feel in the dark, sometimes you're going to want to object to what God is doing, sometimes you're going to want to question it, but it is in that moment you must trust that God is bringing your success, that he's doing something greater, he's doing something beyond what eyes have seen and what ears have heard. He's doing something not that you can feel, not that you can hear, not that you will know, but you've got to walk by faith. He does it with Elijah here. He's doing it with you. But I would be remiss if I didn't tell you he also did it with Jesus. You can go read your Bible. He planted Jesus. That's why the Old Testament writer says he comes up from the root of Jesse. He was wounded for our transgressions. I'm not the smartest guy, but if he came up like a root, sounds like he was planted to me. Not only was he planted, but he was in the perfect position. Read it in the book of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, that he positioned him between two thieves, one on the right and one on the left, on a hill called Calvary, and he dies on that Friday. After he dies, he's put in a tomb, but you remember that sometimes when you go low, God creates peculiar people. Maybe that's where they messed up. They should have left him high on the cross. They should have left him hanging up on the tree. They should have left him high on the mountain. But what they did was they brought him down low. And when they brought him low, it caused him to rise with power in his hand. And here's the good news. When he gets up with power, he doesn't keep it to himself, but he says, greater works will you do that come after me. And I came today just to find a few people who could be honest about their life and say, I've had some moments where I thought God was shady. I had some moments where I was in the dark and I was in the shade, but I can testify that God is able to bring success. And my brothers and sisters, today's message for all of you is that if you ever find yourself like Elijah, tired, done, ready to give up, LeBron style and Space Jams, fighting for your family, but feeling loony all the while. What I'm telling you is God sees all of it, and he's getting ready to bring you success. Father, I pray now in Jesus' name that you would first let us have a relationship with you where we can be honest and we can say, you know, God, there's some things you're doing I don't agree with. I wish you'd do it differently. God, I pray for real relationships where we're able to have conversations with you. And while we're not questioning you, we can ask questions about our direction and about what's happening. And then also get revelation on what you're doing and where you're taking us. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would be with us in our dark places. God, to be honest, there's some places we've been in we really want you to just take us out of. Help us get over it. Help us get through it. But I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you not remove us until we're strong enough to handle where we're going. That you not cause the darkness to dissipate until you created something in us that lets us become the light of the world to share what you've done with others. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would mend broken hearts, that you would heal those who have been hurt because of where they've been. And God, you would give some stick-to-itiveness and perseverance to that, my brother and sister, who was ready to throw it all in. Today, God, rejuvenate them, revive them, reset them in the name of Jesus. Because I believe in you, because I've witnessed you for myself. I believe you're already doing it. And so, God, I thank you in advance. God, I personally shout hallelujah in advance for those, my brothers and sisters, who are coming back to themselves. God, in Jesus' name, do for them what you did for Elijah. Give them purpose again. Help them continue the work that you've begun in the name of Jesus. And then finally, God, I pray quickly that you would grant salvation to someone who came today hearing about you, knowing about you, but had never acknowledged you for themselves, that today, right now, in Jesus' name, that you would claim them and that they would acknowledge and claim you, acknowledging that sins have been committed, but you are the Savior. You wiped away every sin. God, do that in Jesus' name. We believe it's done. We claim it done. Come on, together, online, type it. If you're on site, would you just shout amen? Amen.